educator, Stephen Ward.
This seance was recorded on February the 6th, 1973, medium Rosalie Flynn.
Hello, Rosie.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, Rosie. How are you?
I am very well, thank you, dear.
Good.
Ah, I know who that is.
I'll give you three guesses. I think you'd probably be right first time. Can you hear me?
You're finding it a little difficult. Such a long time since I heard your voice.
I'd rather got out of the way of speaking like this.
Yes.
But I'm doing my best.
Yeah, I know you are.
I don't want you to be disappointed. I don't want you to feel that...
No, I won't be disappointed.
Good. But I'm doing my best.
I know, I'm sure you are.
But in spite of the fact that I have not been able to come and talk to you for ages and ages, I've been very, very much around. I've been very close to you, and I've been taking a tremendous amount of interest in you.
You have?
Of course I
have. Oh, you're a darling, really.
Although it must be months and months since last I spoke to you, I've been very, very close to you. I've been very aware of all your little problems and, well, health-wise, considering everything.
Yes.
I mean, well, you're making quite good progress.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
First, of course, providing you don't do anything extravagant. Go out on the tiles.
I'll never do that. I'll let others do it.
Excuse me. You've got a cold.
Oh, I think I have, Rolly, yes.
Oh, I'm so excited at the thought of you coming back again. It must take you a long time to get used to the instrument now, isn't it?
Well, actually, in certain respects, I've sort of got away from the earth.
Yes.
I don't want you to think because of that, that as I've already said, that I don't come and see you. Of course I do. I mean, I do keep in touch. But from the point of view of communication, I suppose I've rather got out of the habit.
Yes.
But I'm very thrilled and very happy to be able to come today and have a talk to you for a few minutes.
Yes. Your voice is...
What would you say?
Her voice is slightly changed.
Really? Well, actually, from my point of view, I haven't a clue.
No.
I mean, as to whether my voice sounds the same or if it does not sound the same, it's extraordinarily difficult to explain this. I mean, I'm aware of concentrating my thoughts.
Yes.
In the instrument or voice box, call it what you will.
Yes.
That sort of transmits my thoughts into sound and you'll receive it as such. Whether I'm able to reproduce yet a while myself in a fuller sense. I think this must come with experience, obviously. Yeah. And of course I have been a little out of touch in this respect. But I can soon get back into the old habit. In any case, I very much want to come and talk to you. There's so many things I want to tell you, things appertaining to my own life,
yes,
people that I've met.
Oh,
I've become,
yes,
tremendously interested since I've been here in, well, many aspects of what I suppose one would term art.
Oh, yes.
Although, of course, here our conception of things is quite different. Whereas on Earth it's, to a great extent, commercial. I suppose that's obviously due to circumstances beyond anyone's control, but here art is so far in advance of anything that you could possibly imagine. I mean, for instance, I've seen here great works of art created by artists of such, well, tremendous, extraordinary caliber that in comparison to what they may have achieved on Earth, great though it must have been in some cases, it makes it all seem infinitesimal. I mean, people don't suddenly stop because they come over here creating. Creative force and creative power is the lifeblood, you might say, of life here. I mean, a great musician doesn't stop, for instance, playing an instrument which he was fond of, any more than a great composer stops composing great music. The only thing is, of course, here instruments are much more varied and they're much more able to cope, as it were, with the thought force that emanates from the person in question who's being creative. I mean, I think obviously many great artists and great musicians at times almost gave up in despair because their materials, I suppose is the word, weren't adequate enough to demonstrate what they were endeavouring to achieve. I mean, for instance, here you take colour. We have colours here which, well, I couldn't even begin to describe to you. Although there is tremendous colour in your world, or what appears to be colour to the eye, here exists in such a variety of hues, subtleties, so far removed from anything you can imagine. Here an artist can paint, and when I say an artist can paint, I don't wish you to imagine that this is done purely by thought. Everything here is a reality. We have substances. An artist has substances, has a palette, if you like, of colour, of many colours, and these are created not by thought, but by action, by utilising substances drawn from the world in which we live. You see, as you have a world which is as solid and real to you, in which you vibrate in harmony, so we have also a world, or many worlds really, according to one state of evolution. So we have substances which can be utilized, which can be made into various things. I mean, people get this idea that our world is a wishy-washy thing. I mean, that our buildings are merely, as it were, figments of our imagination, if you like, but they're not. They're realities, they are created, they're designed by people whose life it is, you might say, whose love it is to be creative in that sense. Then there are those who love to use their hands with materials, who create the materials or the substances that are necessary for the building. Others come along who do the construction. People mustn't get the idea that our world is something which is just some weird sort of state of being where thoughts, being predominant, as indeed they are predominant, that they're just brought out of the ether by will. Things are created in a substantial way. This is what makes our world such a reality and such a wonderful place, because everyone finds his own niche or his own sphere of activity. He's able to do and achieve with love the things that appeal to him.
Yeah.
I've been in great concerts here in vast auditoriums, some of them in what you would term the open air, where I've listened to music which is so absolutely fantastically beautiful that you couldn't describe it, you couldn't depict it, and there's no instrument in your world that could really convey it. I mean, for instance, I know there are certain musicians, very talented musicians on this side, who do try to impress or use people on your side of like mind. I mean, for instance, you may have someone in your world who's a brilliant pianist by natural ability and talent and have studied a great deal and have become very proficient in that particular field. And at times they will suddenly amaze themselves by giving a performance on an instrument, whether it's a violin or a piano or whatever, which they know instinctively is something which they have never achieved or done before, which is obviously, indeed, in some senses at times, beyond their normal ability. You see, I don't think people can realize that an individual, particularly an artistically creative person, is by very nature very psychic or very sensitive in such a way that there are moments when they can be and are indeed taken over. And they realize that there is something happening They didn't quite know what. But there's no doubt about it with infant geniuses. I mean, for instance, I've met Mozart, and Mozart, as you know, was a genius in as much that as a small child he was able to compose music which is far, one would have thought, would have been far beyond a normal child. And he had this remarkable power or ability. And there's no doubt that infant prodigies do get impressed and inspired and get taken over in the year times. I mean, it's even known that a child who had different knowledge, for instance, of a certain subject, will suddenly show a brilliance far beyond his years and certainly beyond his experience. Indeed, in some cases, may have had no experience. You see, these things of which I speak are realities that where there is the power of thought and it is enabled to be used, so it will, by its very nature, bring in a creative sense things to the fore which were dormant or latent or which appeared to be non-existent even in a person or personality. I'm already beginning to understand many things which, frankly, at one time puzzled me. I mean, I used to, in my own kind of way, used to endeavour, I suppose is the word, to be creative. I used to paint and draw and sketch and all that, but I never felt that I was really achieving very much. I've never really happy about my efforts in that direction, and yet I knew I had an inner awareness and that I had some talent. I suppose really partly due to the fact that I was caught up in other things, particularly my work, but I've learned now that every human being has within themselves the ability to be creative in some way or some shape or some form or other. And it's a matter of course, to some extent, if effort has to be put into it, obviously you have to study. Over here I'm studying. I'm learning to become, I hope, quite a good artist. And also my musical aspect, which, well, wasn't very much the fore on earth, really. And this is developing remarkably well. I'm learning to achieve, learning to become creative in such a way that I do feel that there is great hope that eventually I shall become very proficient, and I hope perhaps be able to create some new work which will give great joy and pleasure to many people. You see, everything we do here is for the from the point of view of desire to give enjoyment and pleasure and happiness. You see, everything we do, although it is in a sense personal, is also to a great extent deliberately done from the point of view of making a contribution to others.
Oh, yes, I understand, yes. And what I want to you to explain to me about infant prodigies. Now, how does that happen and suddenly disappears?
Well, I think that's easily explained. I mean, I personally think there's no doubt about this, that an artist from this side, a great creative genius, if you like,
yes,
may impinge himself, shall we say, upon some very likely child
who has a natural
talent,
yes, yes,
or ability.
Yes.
And you see, a child's mind is unformed, it's not contaminated by materialism. Invariably, too, a child has an initiative from within itself or himself or herself.
Yeah.
In other words, a child is more supple, more like, how do I put this, it is more able to be used because they're rather, shall we say, like you can mould a child, you see. I mean, as a child can be moulded to a great extent in its infancy, in its early years, by its parents, and by the way it's brought up and the school it goes to, it begins to assimilate materially things from parents, teachers,
yes,
and so on.
Yes, yes, I understand. Yes, yes.
So that a child, if it has an artistic tendency, if it has a natural ability, if it has the sort of plasticity, I suppose is the word I was trying to discover, then often a genius or someone on this side can control that child,
yes,
can impress that child, And the child, quite often because of its innocence and because it's not contaminated in the material sense, has no strong preconceived notions and ideas or views. It's not, as it were, formed. The child hasn't become formed in any way.
Yes, yes.
Often they can be used from this side to show a marked ability, perhaps to compose or to play an instrument or to paint or whatever it may be. But sometimes, and it often happens, I regret to say, as the child becomes more adult, becomes more sort of caught up with material things, material actions, following material thoughts, and becomes more immersed in the mundane and the things appertaining to his career or appertaining to his way of life, so he loses this. This is the unfortunate part about it. You know, there's no doubt about it that children do have experiences which are not necessarily applicable to adults. Adults become too caught up materially to
yes.
be able to perceive
yes.
or to
yes.
become aware or conscious of things outside the material. And this is where often a child will show remarkable promise, great ability, great talent, which he may have normally, naturally, but can be accentuated by the power that surrounds him, and the individual in particular that chooses the instrument, the child. But quite often this is lost. The link is broken. Often as the child is uprooted, sent away to school perhaps, becomes immersed in football or whatever it is, material things, and this natural, and it is a natural talent which is dormant, latent, which has to some extent been brought out by the efforts of an individual on this side who manipulates or controls. In other words, it seems to me that in many, many cases, often those who show great promise lose this because their attitude of mind changes, their interests change, they have no longer the same incentive, they have no longer the same sort of realization. I'm not saying by this that necessarily a child is aware always of being used or of being controlled. Of course, there are some children who are really taken over to such an extent that to some extent their own identity is lost in the process. But as they get older, this begins to assert itself. And often a child is called dreamy or very inward thinking and not very sort of outwardly vivacious. I mean, you get some of these children who seem to live in a little world of their own. Some people, parents say, oh, well, he's always living in his own imagination, or he doesn't go out and about and play with other children like ordinary children do. He's a very odd child. But often it is the very odd child, the introspective child, that is the very psychic child and the very sensitive instrument that is often used by souls on this side. I mean, there are many, many cases of extraordinary children who in their infancy or early years rather show tremendous talent. I mean, it's not so long ago that there was a young boy on your side who had tremendous ability, natural ability, and yet at the same time he was taken over to such an extent by someone on this side that he was able to conduct a great orchestra. But as he got older, the divine spark, if I can call it that, ceased
yes.
to exist. He still had the ability, his own natural ability, and the accumulation of experience, but he no longer had that tremendous sort of something which made it possible for him at a very early age, somewhere around about the age of eight or something, able to conduct a great orchestra. And this is a tragedy, you see, because a lot of children, as they grow older, lose the contact. The contact is broken, cannot be held because of the attitude of mind which has taken place within the child, you see. And the influence is brought to bear on the child as it's got older.
I suppose when they lose this ability, it's a disappointment in a way to those who are using them from
well,
the
of
other
course,
side.
Well, of course, that's very true. It's a very great disappointment. But this only, you see, this doesn't only happen, of course, with children. I mean, for instance, if you could go to hospitals, you would find vast numbers of souls there who are controlling or are at least, if not necessarily controlling, who are influencing doctors on your side in their researches, in their in their work. I wish it were possible to fully put this into words, but in every field of activity, that is, every field of activity that is beneficial to the human race, that is good for the human race, particularly when it comes to things appertaining to the mind and of the spirit, innumerable millions of people, to some extent, are helped. Of course, a lot of the help that is given is often inhibited by the individual on your side. I mean, there are innumerable people in your world who are doing things partially because they want to do them, yes, but also greatly exceeding their own ability by the power of the spirit or the individual from their side that is impressing, inspiring and helping them. There is no limit, of course, to what could be done or could be achieved in your world by the power of individuals from this world using that power to guide and help and uplift and inspire and impress and indeed in so many different fields of activity help humanity. But unfortunately, a lot of people who are often very sensitive and very psychic without perhaps understanding it are helped and guided, but if only they understood these things, they would be more cooperative and they would work in harmony in such a way that much more could be done.
Yes,
I mean, I'm learning various things on the side, being taught by various teachers, and I feel that in some respects anyway, I'm not a bad subject. I mean, I'm very cooperative and I'm very anxious to learn and very anxious to express myself and bring something of my own self to interpret my innermost feelings and emotions and these things. You see, everyone brings something of themselves, which makes everything rather unique. I mean, a person may teach you something, a person may help you, guide you along in a certain direction, give you expert advice, but you still must bring something personal of yourself to it to make it original,
or
to make it more interesting or exciting, you see.
Yes, that's quite
true. I'm caught up in so many things. I'm caught up in music, I'm caught up in art. I think another thing people don't understand is that one can read here. I mean, now, some people assume that it's not necessary, or it wouldn't be necessary to read, that you can learn everything by personal contact and experience, which is true to a point. But there are vast libraries, I suppose that's the only word to use, because they are libraries, of all manner and kind of books. Many of the great classic books that have been written when the people concerned on earth exist here, and also many, many other books that have been written by great souls for the illumination of the mind of people who are struggling, who are anxious to learn. You see, you can learn here in so many ways. I mean, and a great joy and pleasure is found in reading.
That's all very well, but I cannot possibly understand it, because you people on your side of life, you can read people's thoughts.
Oh yes, now, that's true enough, but the whole point is that once a thing is put between covers, once a thing is written, once it is put into book form, then the individual, and I'm talking here much more of people who perhaps have not developed so very far themselves, for them there's a great joy and pleasure in reading, and they can read that which has been written, of course. But the individual who perhaps wrote that book has gone so far ahead onto a much higher plane, a much more evolved plane, and it would not be easy for some people on certain levels of consciousness to be able to tune into that mind. And then again, you see, an individual, though he may be able to divide himself up, if that's the way to put it, in such a way that he could send out his thoughts in many directions and be received by many people, at the same time, a highly evolved soul has his own life to fulfill, his own sort of aspect of self to evolve and to develop and to even adjust in some sense.
I
mean, it's very difficult. I mean, the point is that Everything here falls into place according to the state of mind or the state of evolution of the individual. I mean, what may apply on one sphere or one plane of existence does not necessarily apply on another. And I am thinking here, when I'm talking to you, about the various things that one may do or achieve on this side, I'm talking about the initial stages, the earlier stages of man's coming here. I'm not talking about the highly evolved souls who do not need the aids or do not need the
instruction.
I mean, when a person first comes here, when they become acclimatized or adjusted, you might say, and they found their own sort of niche or level of thought and life, then many of the things which I speak of are important to them. They don't want to sit around idle, though they can do if they wish for a time. Until, you see, everyone feels that they want to do something. They want to become a useful participator in life. They want to express themselves. They want to feel that they are being of service and a consequence. One person may find their particular work lies in one direction, and therefore they begin to study and begin to think on that line of thought. They begin to seek out people of like mind, or people of like mind who come to them knowing their needs, more able to help them because they've been here longer and more experienced in consequence. And there are many, many aids and many, many aspects to this. I think it's so vitally important that people should realize that life is on so many, 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 many stratas. I mean, you hear loosely people talk about this sphere or that sphere and so on, but each of these spheres, if one can so call them, in a sense, are not exactly broken up into hundreds of spheres, but they are all, there's so many different aspects of thought, and there's so many different integral parts that
one leads to the other.
Yes, so this is it. There are so many subtleties. I mean, for instance, an individual may be living in a happy environment, surrounded by people of like mind and interests which give them great pleasure and great joy, and they're completely and absolutely happy. But their little world in which they may live, though it may seem very large and enormous to them, is an infinitesimal part, probably, of one particular sphere. The same as you can live in your world in one little part, and you have a consciousness of other aspects around and about you, yes, and you know of by hearsay about other countries which you've never visited. It doesn't alter the fact that there are many, many things, many, many places, and many, many aspects of life of which you may not be conscious of, even while yet on earth.
Yes,
the same thing applies here, but much more so. I mean, we're talking about worlds. We're talking about worlds which are inhabited by untold millions upon billions and billions and billions of souls who once were of varying nationality when on earth. Centuries and centuries and centuries ago. You see, our worlds are infinite. When people say, well, where is this other world? You can't give people a geographical area, because it would be absolutely out of the question. It would be absolutely impossible. Your world, for instance, as large as it is, with all these untold millions of people living and breathing and existing, it's like a speck. It's like a speck of dust in comparison to our world. You know, it's very difficult. You know, I suppose as I get more used to coming back, I'll be able to become more fluent and be able to explain things and express things better. But it's just a matter of becoming more used to it. But I know how you are so interested in all these things.
Yes.
And after all said and done, the average person who comes to this sort of thing is more or less interested purely in material things or, well, some communication with someone they've known on a personal level. But so very little time is ever given to enabling us to discuss things which could be of general help and interest to many, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you have this because you come through all the mess. You don't need the proof and the evidence and the tittle-tattle and the little ordinary conversation, which makes it all so wonderful. I mean, I haven't been for ages for various reasons, not necessarily my fault or yours, but circumstances. The medium has his work to do, we realize that, and it too well. But a little time given to some of us who can come back and talk on a different level and give you something which we feel could be of great help and value.
Oh.
I mean, I've been here comparatively a short time when you consider some of the souls that have come
back. And in that short time, you have taught a good many people a great deal.
Well, I didn't realize. I'd sort of like to think I might have done or could do in the future.
You see,
I haven't been here long enough, perhaps, to become, I hate to use the word, any word I can think of, remote. You see, I mean, some of the souls who've been here for centuries and have progressed, they have become so remote or removed, if you like, from the material world, the earth, that it's very difficult indeed for some of them, indeed, to make any link up or contact or to convey what they would wish to convey. I mean, their worlds are so far removed from the material, and their concept of life is so different.
Yes.
And their lack of language, in as much that they have lost, in a sense, if you like, the art of language from the material point of view. They can commune in a mental process in such a way that they do not have to enunciate words or vibrate the atmosphere to create sound. But those of us who haven't been over too long and who have learned a certain amount, we can still return, and we can still convey, we can still put into a language which is understandable to you some of our thoughts, some of our ideas, some of our experiences. And this, I think, is what could be very interesting and helpful and valuable to those who are seeking in your world. Anyway, that's what I'd like to do. Well, now the door's been opened again, thank goodness, perhaps I can get through and occasionally have a good old chinwag.
Oh, yes, sir.
And if there is anything particularly that you want to ask me, if it's possible for me to answer it, or if I can't, perhaps I can find someone who can, who knows, probably I will. But I do want to be of help. You know, I'm always so appreciative of everything that was done for me in those early months, because I was so desolate. I was just so, well, you know what the state I was in. All that's gone anyway. Anyway, I must go, because
all right,
the
dear.
Power's sort of waiting, I think. But anyway, it's wonderful to talk to again.